Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Produced at the studios of KBOO Radio in Portland, Oregon, this is Prison Pipeline. I'm Doug McVeigh. Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration. We seek to promote awareness and activism in order to foster a safe, healthy, and just society. On this edition of Prison Pipeline, we take a look at global drug policy. In mid-March, a United Nations body will once again issue its annual criticism of marijuana legalization in Canada, Uruguay, and several states in the United States. They will also be critical of medical marijuana laws and of certain effective harm reduction interventions that are saving lives and preventing disease in nations around the world. That UN entity is called the Commission on Narcotic Drugs. It's a major part of the international drug control apparatus, charged with overseeing the implementation of the international drug control conventions. In 2009, the CND adopted a political declaration binding countries to the goal of eliminating or significantly reducing drug production, trafficking, and consumption within 10 years. Governments should be taking a critical look at their efforts this year. They're not. Fortunately, civil society is stepping in to fill that breach. Sheila Vakaria, Ph.D., MSW, is the policy manager for the Office of Academic Engagement at the Drug Policy Alliance. She spoke at a civil society task force event at the United Nations in New York on February 20th. That event was held to prepare for the 62nd annual session of the Commission on Narcotic Drugs, which starts March 11th in Vienna, Austria. Dr. Vakaria spoke about the CND's political declaration and goals. Let's listen.
As you can see here, we were able to collect responses from a quite broad coalition of respondents. We collected responses from 100 countries. And for those who are looking at the gradients here, the darker the gradient of the color of the country, the more responses we had. But for those who might be interested in understanding a little bit more about regional representation, this is a table that summarizes actually by response rate by region. So this table is not present in the report, but I thought that the audience might be interested in learning a little bit more about where the significant portions of respondents came from. So as you can see here, roughly half of our respondents were from Latin America and the Caribbean and Western Europe combined, and the remaining 50% of responses came from these other regions. There is a table with much more detail in the report that you have in front of you about the respondents of the NGO folks who kind of contributed their perspectives. What you can see is that a large portion of our respondents were actually working in organizations that were direct service organizations. We also had a significant number of respondents who worked in the field of advocacy. What you can also see here is that almost half of our respondents were working at the national level, and we had about a quarter of our respondents who were working at the local level. So I'm going to now go through each of the three different sections of the report and to discuss each of those findings. So to first discuss any of the questions responding to the 2009 political declaration and plan of action. So we asked respondents for each of the five goals. First of all, do you believe that there has been any sort of progress towards this goal in the past decade, in your opinion, in your perspective? And then secondly, for each of these goals, we also asked, in your opinion, should this goal be extended to 2029? Additionally, we asked respondents, is there any work that you do on the ground in your country of origin towards achieving this goal? And if so, describe what that is. And so the report goes into much more detail about those responses. Here I will mostly give you some broad strokes about their determination of progress or regression towards the goals and their beliefs about extending these goals. So as you can see here, almost half of the respondents felt that for goal one, which I will read aloud for you now, by 2019, to eliminate or reduce significantly and measurably the illicit cultivation of opium poppy, coca bush, and the cannabis plant. So for goal one, has there been progress towards this goal? And as you can see here, roughly half of our respondents indicated that they had felt there was some or significant regression towards the achievement of this goal over the past decade. And as you can see here, roughly one in five, 20% or so, said that they had seen some or significant progress towards the achievement of this goal. And one of the things that you will see as you read through this report and as you listen to this presentation is that people really from different regions and from different orientations and types of work really had quite diverse perspectives and views about progress, regression, and whether or not to extend these goals. And so I hope that that's kind of something that emerges for all of you as you listen and read. So roughly one in five said that they had felt there was some progress, although roughly half said that they had seen some sort of regression. And then when we asked folks about whether they thought that this goal should be extended to 2029, what we found was that there was a very interesting divide in our sample. So over half of our sample still said, yes, we should extend this goal to 2029. But what we found was that actually 41% of respondents said no. And so one of the follow-up questions that we asked to respondents in this survey, oftentimes when they agreed or disagreed with certain statements, was to further explain why, and sometimes in certain cases to offer up alternatives. And so what I did for this question, given the fact that 41% of respondents actually said, no, I don't believe this goal should be extended. For the purposes of this report and presentation, I am going to go into those 41% of responses to tell you about some of the themes. But as I go through the rest of the presentation, there was no other goal for which there was such a high percentage of people who said no. And so I will not be presenting those today, but they are in the report and in detail. So of those 41% who said, no, this goal should not be extended, we asked them to explain to us or to describe to us what alternative goals they would like to see instead. And so some of them include the idea that we should consider legalizing and regulating the cultivation of these crops, perhaps to provide greater incentives to farmers to grow alternative crops, to provide greater investment in economic development and efforts to fight poverty in these cultivation regions, to decriminalize the cultivation of plants to protect farmers, and that whatever policies we consider implementing should first and foremost uphold the human rights of farmers and growers. So on to goal two. So goal two was by 2019 to eliminate or reduce significantly and measurably the illicit demand for narcotic drugs and psychotropic substances and drug-related health and social risks. And again, in this situation, we asked respondents, has there been progress towards this goal? As you can see here, again, almost half of the respondents said there had been some or significant regression in the past decade in trying to achieve this goal. However, about one quarter of respondents, a little over one in four respondents, actually said that they had seen some or significant progress towards achieving this goal. And when we asked our respondents, should this goal be extended to 2029? As you can see here, there was far more consensus in respondents that yes, this goal should be extended. In fact, 68% of respondents said yes. In the report, I do go into the 27% who did say that perhaps this goal should not be extended. I will not be talking about that during my talk today, but you can read more detail in the report. Goal three, by 2019, to eliminate or reduce significantly and measurably the illicit production, manufacture, marketing, and distribution of, and trafficking in psychotropic substances, including synthetic drugs. And similar to the first several goals, a little over half of respondents said there had been some or significant regression in working towards this goal over the past decade. And almost one in five respondents, 20% of respondents, said that they had seen some or significant progress towards achieving this goal. And what you can see here is that when we asked folks about whether this goal should be extended, at this time, 60% of respondents said, yes, this goal should still be extended. And about one-third, 32% of respondents said no. Their responses are summarized in the report. Goal four, by 2019, to eliminate or reduce significantly and measurably the diversion of and illicit trafficking in precursors. What you can see here is that respondents had a little bit more of a hard time responding to this question, as shown by the number of responses that came up as neutral or cannot say or unsure. Some of our respondents weren't very familiar with precursors and did not necessarily feel comfortable responding to this question. But what you can still see is that almost 40%, a little over a third of respondents, still said that they had felt there perhaps was some or significant regression in this area. And a little over 20% said that there had been some or significant progress. But, over a quarter of respondents said they weren't sure how to answer this question. And this same discomfort with this question is revealed also in when we asked about whether the goal should be extended. A little over half of respondents said yes, but as you can see here, one in five respondents were unsure whether this goal should be extended. Goal five was by 2019 to eliminate or reduce significantly and measurably money laundering related to illicit drugs. Although more people felt confident answering this question, it is still clear that a significant portion of respondents, again 25%, were unsure how to answer whether there had been progress or regression towards this goal. However, a little over a third of respondents still said that they believed there had been some or significant regression in this area, and a little over one in five respondents felt there had been some or significant progress in this area. Yet there was far the most consensus that I had found in terms of extending any of these five goals was actually still in this goal. So almost 75% of the respondents supported extending this goal.
We'll be back with more from Dr. Vakharia in just a moment. You are listening to Prison Pipeline. I'm Doug McVeigh. We're listening to Dr. Sheila Vakharia. She's policy manager at the Drug Policy Alliance's Office of Academic Engagement. She's speaking at an event at the United Nations that was sponsored by the Permanent Mission of Mexico and the Civil Society Task Force in preparation for the 62nd annual session of the Commission on Narcotic Drugs. That'll be held in Vienna, Austria in March. Now let's get back to Dr. Vakharia.
As I mentioned earlier, we did ask respondents to look at each of the five goals and to tell us, do you feel like any of the work that your NGO does is in an effort to advance any of these goals? And so we allowed them to each answer yes or no to each of the five. And so these numbers do not sum up to 100. So people could have said they work towards multiple goals. And what you can see here is that 72% of respondents said that they work to advance the second goal relating to demand reduction and the reduction of drug-related harms. But you can see that, even a quarter of respondents felt like they were working towards goal three. The bottom two bars here actually tell us about folks who said that they did not work towards any of the five goals, and roughly 25% of our respondents said they didn't believe that they worked towards any of the goals. However, we also had 5% of respondents saying that they felt like they worked towards the achievement or advancement of all five of the goals. We then asked a series of open-ended questions, and so the table summarizing these responses is on page 13, and I'm going to do my best to summarize them in this presentation. We asked three open-ended questions. We asked, are there any other signs of progress that you've seen or noticed in the past decade that you would like to tell us about? And we allowed people to type in open-ended responses. We then also asked, are there any notable trends that you've noticed that have emerged over the past decade? And if so, what are they? And then we asked respondents, have you noticed any significant setbacks or challenges over the past decade? So we asked three large open-ended questions, one after the other. And what was interesting, and what I think I described, or I was able to visually represent in the table on page 13, is that there were many respondents who seemed to have a lot of consensus on what they identified as progress. Yet there were some respondents who said things that they saw were trends that other people saw as progress. And then there were responses in which people thought certain setbacks were trends. And then there were other responses that actually showed that respondents saw certain things as setbacks while others saw them as progress. So I'm going to be explaining a little bit of that nuance, but I hope the visual on page 13 also helps to kind of show, again, the diversity of responses and experiences of people who filled out the survey. So pretty clearly, when we thought about progress, a lot of respondents talked about increased access to evidence-based prevention and treatment options in their regions, There were quite a number of respondents who talked about feeling as though there were expanded public health and harm reduction efforts in their countries and communities. There were respondents who felt like they had observed increased discussions between and amongst international bodies. There were folks who felt like there was an increased awareness of the human rights of people who use drugs. There were respondents who talked about feeling as though more civil society groups had emerged to issue the address the issue of drugs in their communities or their regions. There were respondents who felt they had seen greater international and regional coordination and communication. Now, I'm going to be presenting folks who were in that middle column in the table, who said that they saw certain things as progress that some others saw as trends. So, more research on drug addiction and the use of controlled drugs for medicinal or therapeutic purposes. The framing of drug use as a health issue rather than a criminal issue. Increased awareness and willingness to discuss drugs and drug-related issues. And now I'm going to talk about issues that emerged in the table that were in the middle, but also on the far right column, so that some viewed as trends, some viewed as setbacks. So increased cultivation of illicit crops and increased drug production. The emergence of new psychoactive substances, many of which are more harmful and dangerous. The ongoing or increased criminalization, policing, and incarceration of people who use drugs. The dark web emerging as a new market for drugs. Increased drug use and drug-related harms, including overdose, particularly in some regions. Increased human rights violations, including the use of the death penalty and extrajudicial killings of people who use drugs. Fewer resources devoted to prevention, harm reduction, and treatment. And so this is, again, in another example of the diversity of responses we received. Whereas some respondents felt they had seen increased resources in their communities and they said it was a sign of progress, there were others who felt like funds were drying up and that there weren't enough resources being devoted. And so, again, I want to just highlight that this is another example of the breadth of responses that we were receiving. And certain countries talked about country-specific barriers, including corruption, lack of political will, or inconsistent leadership over the past decade since the passing of the political declaration. So here are some responses, the two big areas where some people viewed these as progress and some people viewed these as setbacks. So the legalization and normalization of cannabis use for recreational purposes was viewed by some respondents as a positive trend and by others as a setback or a sign or something challenging that has emerged over the past decade. Also, the idea that more countries were experimenting with decriminalization and regulatory models was seen as progress by some respondents. However, other respondents saw this as a step backward or as a challenge to overcome. And lastly, in this section, we asked respondents that, you know, do you believe that international drug policy efforts could be adequately implemented, tracked, and advanced to achieve the goal of a world free of drug abuse for the next decade? And what you can see here is that 42% of respondents said yes, that this goal is worthy of consideration to extend. However, half of respondents actually said no. And so what I'm going to do now is go into a little bit of detail because we asked actually respondents who said yes, it should be extended, what else they think we should do towards advancing that goal. And then for folks who said no, that this goal should not be extended, we asked the follow-up question, what alternatives would you propose? And again, these are described in detail and summarized in the report. I am just highlighting them here on the slide. But as you can see here, for the responses that I highlighted, a lot of them discussed to further advance this goal, we need to see more resources. Whether it's more resources in prevention, we need to see more resources in treatment. But people feel the need that if we really want to achieve these goals, money and resources need to actually be truly committed to these efforts to actually achieve this goal. We also asked the respondents who said no, the 50% of respondents who said no, if not this goal, then what? And one of the overarching themes that we found was that people liked the idea of a goal to aspire to, yet some people had an issue with the word abuse. And so there were quite a few respondents who said, rather than a world free of drug abuse, what about a world free of drug-related harms? There were also respondents who talked about perhaps rather than making it a concrete drug-related goal alone, to consider the UNGAS outcome document and also SDGs and other larger UN works to integrate into a larger goal rather than the goal of a world free of drug abuse. And again, these responses are provided in the report. So now I'm going to speak to Section B, where we wanted to check in with respondents since 2016 to get a sense of any changes that they've already seen in the past several years, any progress that they've noticed, and any new efforts that they've identified. And so first and foremost, before we ask too many of those questions, we asked respondents, were you familiar with the outcome UNGAS outcome document? And as you can see here, two-thirds of our respondents said yes, that they were familiar with the document. And what we did was, for those two-thirds who responded yes, they were familiar with the document, we then asked them all the subsequent questions in this section. For those who were not familiar, we did not want to further go into detail to ask them questions that they may not be qualified to answer. So of the two-thirds who said that they were familiar with the outcome document, we then asked those individuals, how useful and helpful has this document been in the efforts of your NGO on the ground? And what we heard from folks is that actually 75% of respondents who were familiar with the document said, yes, this is useful in some way to my NGO's efforts. And the report further details some of the answers to the open-ended question about the ways in which these NGOs find the document to be useful. So I encourage you to take a look at those summaries in the report. And we also asked respondents, from what you know, was your NGO involved in any of the civil society preparations leading up to the UNGAS? And 61% of respondents said, yes, our NGO was in some way involved with the UNGAS preparations. Given that it's only been such a short period of time since the implementation of the UNGAS, I'm not going to spend too much time on describing the results, but I will give you a brief overview. We asked them about all seven of the operational recommendation chapters from the UNGAS outcome document, and we asked them whether that they had seen any sort of progress locally towards the achievement of this goal. So as you can see here, for goal number one, that was the goal with the largest portion of respondents who said, yes, I have seen some changes on the ground. 46% of respondents said, yes, we have seen some new efforts towards demand reduction in our home countries or in our work. But as you can see, that portion of respondents who saw progress or changes towards implementing any of these goals was smaller for all the subsequent goals. So by the time we're discussing goal seven about expanding alternative development, only 15% of respondents said that they had seen any sort of progress or change or new efforts by their governments. What you can also see, though, is that a pretty consistent portion of respondents, about 40% or plus or minus several points, consistently said no, that they had not seen changes or efforts, as you can see here by the dark blue band that is moving through these other goals. And you can also see here that a notable portion of respondents were unsure how to respond, so they weren't sure if they had seen changes yet. And so that portion of respondents also grew as we got to the further operational recommendations, so that by goal seven as well, almost a little over a third of respondents said that they weren't sure if they had seen any sort of advance towards alternative goals or alternative development, sorry. And finally, in this section, we asked respondents, do you believe that the UNGAS outcome document and its operational recommendations should be included in the next political declaration? And as you can see here, 70% of respondents said yes. And we did ask some follow-up questions about this, which are summarized in the report, but it seemed as though those who said yes felt as though this was the most recent consensus document that had been produced and that its findings and its recommendations should definitely be incorporated in the next document moving forward. Lastly, we asked respondents to look at each of the 17 Sustainable Development Goals and to tell us whether they felt like their NGO's efforts in any way were advancing those sustainable development goals. So again, this is described in a beautiful graphic that is in the report, in which it actually has the little like SDG images and icons. And here I've just summarized them very briefly. And as you can see here, that What we found was that over 90% of respondents said, yes, in some way, my organization's efforts advance at least one of these goals. And very clearly, 92% of respondents said that SDG 3 towards ensuring healthy lives was very clearly related to their work. Although they also identified that a variety of other SDGs have also been advanced by their efforts on the ground. And so as you can see here, peaceful societies, advancing peaceful society, quality education, gender equality, a number of these SDGs were seen as quite relevant to the work of our NGO respondents, and they felt like they were, in their efforts, advancing various goals. What you can also see is that at the very bottom, I added two bars, and 19% of respondents felt like their efforts actually advanced all 17 goals. And only 1% of respondents said, no, my NGO's work does not advance even a single one of these SDGs.
That was Sheila Vakaria, PhD, MSW, speaking at a Civil Society Task Force event at the United Nations in New York on February 20th. Drug policy and criminal justice reform has finally gained a voice at the international level. Drug warrior nations like Russia, China, and sadly the U.S., are finally being made to listen to the voices of people who are affected by the laws these nations are enacting and enforcing. Whether they'll respond or not, only time will tell. The thing is, we've only gotten this far because people in the U.S. and around the world have been working hard for decades, advocating decriminalization and harm reduction, acting locally while thinking and organizing globally. And for now, that's it. Thank you for joining us. I'm Doug McVeigh, and you've been listening to Prison Pipeline. Find this and other installments of Prison Pipeline at the website kboo.fm/prisonpipeline. Prison Pipeline has a Facebook page. It's at facebook.com/prisonpipeline. Please give its page a like and share it with friends. Join us again next week for another edition of Prison Pipeline. For now, this is Doug McVeigh saying so long.
Some little foolish thing, some simple thing that I've done. Though just a soul's intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. Don't let me be misunderstood. I try so hard, so please don't let me be.